this morning is God has spoken, but is anybody listening? It only gets better from there. God has spoken, but is anyone listening? Lord, I need your help today. I pray, God, that you would anoint me to preach your word, that lives would be changed for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to take a look at the first four verses of chapter 1 of Hebrews. Now, there's all kinds of discussion about the author of Hebrews, and the reality is, while we don't know with certainty, I think that there can be there's some heavy evidence that would speak to the reality that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews because of who he was writing it to, and because of who he used to be and all these kinds of things. But I think that there is a profound message in this if the children of God are listening. How many of you know that there's more to hearing than just hearing? Yeah. Did I miss something? Yeah, what? There's a difference between listening and really hearing, but Jesus often cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The statement suggests that it takes more than physical ears to hear the voice of God. And it also requires a receptive heart. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, just to condense it, it says, "Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart." Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Let me just lay out some foundational things for that we're going to be looking at. For example, the word better. The word better is used 13 times in this book, as the writer shows the superiority of Jesus Christ and His salvation over the Hebrew system of religion. How many of you know religion will not save you? Relationship saves you. Christ is, according to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, Christ is better than the angels. And according to Hebrews 7 and 19, He brought a better hope, because He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. Another word that you'll find repeated in the book of Hebrews is this word perfect. And in the original Greek, it's used 14 times, and it means a perfect standing before God. How do we stand perfect before God? Only by the blood of Jesus. Only as our righteousness is in Him. This type of perfection, this level of perfection, could never be accomplished by the Levitical priesthood. Nor could it be accomplished by the law. Nor could it be accomplished by the blood of animal sacrifices to achieve it. You can find these references all through the book of Hebrews. But Jesus Christ Himself gave Himself as one offering for sin. And by this He has perfected forever those or them that are sanctified, according to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. So the writer here is contrasting, and again, I believe it's the Apostle Paul, is contrasting the Old Testament system of the law with the New Testament ministry of grace. And he's making it clear, I believe, that the Jewish religious system was in fact temporary, and that it could not bring the eternal better things that are found in Christ Jesus. How many of you know He established a new and a better covenant? It had to be better because the old one wasn't good enough. The third word is eternal. Eternal is the third word that is important to the message of Hebrews. Christ is the author, according to Hebrews 5 and 9, of eternal salvation. it's going to last a long time. Amen? It's going to last a long time. Through His death, according to Hebrews 9 and 12, He obtained eternal redemption. And He shares with you and I as believers, according to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, the promise of an eternal inheritance. As King's kids, there is laid up for us an inheritance in the heavens. I'm looking forward to that. His throne, according to Hebrews 1 and 8, is forever. It's forever. And He is a priest, according to Hebrews 5 and 6, chapter 6 and verse 20, chapter 7 and verse 17, and also in verse 21. He is a priest forever. Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 13 and 8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We quote that verse all the time. He is unchanging. He doesn't change according to the times. He doesn't change because of who's in the White House. He doesn't change because of the economic structure of our country. He doesn't change because we're at war. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's known you and I from before the foundations of the earth. He knew you yesterday. He knows you today. And He knows you tomorrow, and His redemption has covered you through all of those steps. And so when you begin to combine these three important words, what happens is you begin to discover that Jesus Christ and the Christian life He gave us are better. There's the first word. They are better because these blessings are, here's the second word, they are eternal, and they give us, the third word, a perfect standing before Christ. I am perfect in Christ. Am I flawless? No. But because of the blood of Jesus, I've been perfected in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the religious system then, under the Mosaic law, was imperfect because there was no way that it could really accomplish this once-for-all redemption that was eternal, that is eternal. Christ Jesus died once. The old Levitical system, every year they had to come. They had to make this pilgrimage back to the Holy Land, to Israel, and to Jerusalem, and they had to prepare all these animal sacrifices and kill all these animals, and blood flowed everywhere, and I can just imagine the picture of death, the smell of death, because it's a hot place, and there had to be an aroma. Amen. There had to be all kinds of fly. I mean, think of the work that the priests had to do in obtaining and making all of those sacrifices for all of those people. And then Jesus Christ died, gave His life once for all. Thank God for that. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1 and go to verse 1. We'll read the first four verses, and when you get there, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1. By the way, welcome each and every one of you by way of the internet this morning. We're glad to have you with us. We pray that you get something out of this word today. Amen? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when he had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, Lord, I just ask You to anoint me one more time, Lord, to share Your word. God, that Your word would come forth, Lord, not necessarily from a preacher, but from your Holy Spirit being spoken through me, Lord. And I pray that even every person on the internet today that's watching would receive something from your word that would challenge us, that would change us, that would provoke us, Lord, to draw nearer to you, Lord, to do better at our life of Christians. And Lord, I thank you for that. I pray, God, that your word would become revelation to us today. And God, I thank you for it. I give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Give somebody a high five as you're being seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Looks like Miss Lindsay has got lists and all kinds of things. They'll be over on the table for you to look at those and be God's hands extended. Amen. God has spoken throughout history. But in Jesus Christ, God has given us His clearest and really His greatest revelation of Himself. Verse 1 declares that God has spoken. The truth is, the Bible begins with a God who communicates. God has never been one to keep secrets. He's a communicative God. The truth is, the Bible begins with a God who communicates. God spoke to Adam. He spoke to Adam. He spoke to Noah. God spoke through Moses, and God spoke through the prophets. But don't miss this. God didn't just speak. He wanted us, His people then, to hear Him. The church has never been, and never will be, the problem has never been that God is unwilling to speak. The problem is that the church, that man, has often been unwilling to listen. The truth is that there are many people today sitting in churches here in Myrtle Creek and around the world who desperately need to hear from God, but they're looking everywhere but God's Word. They're looking everywhere. They're going to all these other places trying to find what their answer, but they neglect the Word of God. So here's the deal. You don't need another opinion. You don't need, and you know what they say about opinions? Oh, I'm on. Yeah, okay. Behave myself. Is that what you're saying? Uh-huh. All righty then. Opinions. You can fill in the blanks. You don't need another opinion. You don't even need another philosophy. You don't even need another self-help program. And God knows people are getting rich all over the world by writing self-help books. What you need is to hear what God said. Well, I need a word from the Lord. Well, when's the last time you picked up your Bible? Verse 2 takes us a little bit further and says, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. See, God didn't just send another prophet. He sent His Son. The prophet said, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. But Jesus said, I say unto you. You see the difference? Thus says the Lord, or I say. There's a level of authority that comes when Jesus says, I say unto you. He says unto us because of the authority that He carries as the triune, part of the triune Godhead. It's important to understand that the prophets pointed towards Jesus. Jesus was, in fact, the fulfillment of what they had been pointing towards. And in John chapter 1 and verse 14, it said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." See, the reality is that God didn't just send us a message, He sent His Son. He didn't just send a message. He didn't just send a messenger. He sent His Son. It's like getting letters from your son. It's interesting having you home from foreign fields today, serving our country in the Air Force. We're glad to have Bill and Tab's boy back home with us for a few days. Go ahead. The truth is, I actually had you in mind when I put this down. The reality is that God didn't just send a message, He sent His Son. And it's kind of like getting letters from your son or your daughter from their deployment, or maybe even from the mission field. And then one day, instead of another letter, they show up at the door. When they show up at the door, you don't just go and say, "Well, I think I'll read another letter." Hello? I'm not going to just read another letter. You open the door and you let them in. And that's what Jesus did. He came to us. Imagine opening that door and seeing your loved one standing there, or going to the airport to receive them and see them finally come around that corner or through those doors into where, Bill, you was probably trying to be all tough, but I have a hunch that Miss Tabitha just went flying up there and just, you did that, didn't you? Because that's what we do. And that's right. And that's good. But you see him standing there, the joy and the delight and the happiness, and as overwhelming as all of that is and all of that would be, Jesus is greater than anything we could ever imagine. He's even greater than you, sir. I mean that in the most respectful way. But He is. And imagine the joy that you guys experienced in that moment, but when it's Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high." These verses begin to describe exactly who Jesus really is. See, He's been appointed heir of all things. And you know what that makes us? Joint heirs. Is it working? It's working? It makes us joint heirs. He is appointed heir. Everything ultimately belongs to Christ. Your life belongs to Christ. Your future belongs to Christ. Your eternity. Even creation itself. See, Jesus isn't just merely a part of creation. He is, in fact, Lord over creation. So He's not only the heir, He is also the creator. Verse 2 goes on to say, "Through whom also He made the worlds." He wasn't simply born in Bethlehem. He existed before Bethlehem. Think about that. The baby in the manger was the creator wrapped in human flesh. He created the manger. He created everything about it. Isn't that amazing? He created you. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's what we're trying to get across. He is the express image of God's own person. He isn't merely similar to God. He's the perfect revelation of God. Jesus said, "If they've seen me, they've seen the Father." The heart of God then is reflected in the life of Jesus. And so to see Him, we see Him touching lepers. That was forbidden. You couldn't do that. You had to go and be separate and all this kind of stuff? Jesus touched them and healed them. Remember the story of the 10? The 10 lepers? Anybody remember that story? That's a great story. But do you read the backstory? Do you see the backstory of it? He healed them all. Right? But one of them came back. And when he came back, he gave God glory. He gave Jesus glory for healing. And he said, well, where's the rest of them? Read it. Where's the other nine? I don't know. I'm just here to thank you. And because he came back, the Bible says he was restored. What does that mean? Leprosy, if you know anything about leprosy, leprosy is a horrible, horrible disease. And, you know, I won't get into all the details about what all can happen, but you lose body parts. And Jesus restored him, made him whole. Again, why? Because he came back. He isn't similar to God. He is the perfect. He touched lepers. When you just see the heart of God reflected in Jesus' life, you look at him and you see him forgiving sinners. And he didn't care what day of the week it was, which got him into trouble. But remember, he wasn't about following and keeping religion and rules. He was about the Father's business. And you can see him forgiving sinners. You can look at him weeping, showing the heart of God, showing a heart of compassion. Look at him weeping at the grave of his friend Lazarus. And look at him welcoming the broken. I love the story of the woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years, she had spent every dime that she had. She'd paid every doctor in town, anybody that would see her. And nothing helped. And according to tradition and according to religion and according to the culture of the time, because of her issue, she couldn't even come out in public. And one day she got sick and tired of being sick and tired. Hello? And she said, you know what? I don't care about all the rules and the regulations anymore. I heard Jesus was in town and I'm going to go see him. And she come out the house with her issues. Anybody come out of the house with your issue this morning? She came out of the house. And she found Jesus. There was a crowd. There was a... I don't even want to know what that was right there. Lord. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. There's going to be trouble. I'm going to walk over this way. She came out of the house with her issues and she saw the commotion. She knew Jesus was in town. And she said in her mind, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get to Jesus, I know I'm going to be healed. And she reached out in the crowd and she touched him. And it specifically says the hem of his garment. This is the hem. Just the hem. Why the hem? Because the hem represented authority. If you study that out, you'll find that the hem is a representation of the authority. And she reached out and she touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says immediately virtue flowed out of Jesus. He knew something had happened. And he asked the most ridiculous question. He said, who touched me? And how many of you know the disciples are quick to answer that question? What are you nuts is kind of what they said. Yeah. What do you mean who touched you? Everybody's touching you. There's people everywhere. They're bumping into you. You can't hardly get through this place because of all the people. And Jesus said, nope, 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 nope. Somebody touched me. And this girl, this woman, said it was me. And he said, your faith has made you whole. Jesus knew that somebody had touched him. He welcomed the broken. He didn't let her. I mean, what a huge step it was for her to even come out of the house in that culture. She could be literally taken outside and stoned. But Jesus removed all the evidence. Think about that. Removed all of the evidence. She doesn't have an issue of blood anymore because Jesus set her free just like that. I love that. Look at him hanging on the cross of Calvary. What a picture of the love of the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but would have everlasting. Look at the cross. It's all a picture of what God is like. Verse 3 says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Think about this. The same Jesus who holds the universe together is the same Jesus who says to you and I, come unto me. Wow. Wow. The one who holds the stars in place is able to hold your life together. Woo! How many of you think right there, that's a big God? That's a big God. Somebody might have come into this place this morning carrying burdens that nobody else knows about. It might seem like your life's falling apart. Your future might seem uncertain. Your heart might be broken. Your faith might be weak. But the book of Hebrews says he is upholding all things, and that includes you. He sees you. Another aspect of verse 3 is that he said, when he had by himself purged our sins. Notice what he didn't say. He doesn't say Jesus primarily came to make you and I happier. That's not what he said. He didn't come to primarily improve your finances. He didn't even come just to make your life easier. He came to deal with our sin. That's what the cross is all about. That's our greatest problem. It's what separates us from God. Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned. All have sinned. Every last one of us have sinned. And fall short of the glory of God. Another one is Romans 6 and 23, and it says, for the wages of sin is death. But in Hebrews says, he had by himself purged our sins. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. Though my sin be as scarlet, the Bible says, I shall be as white as snow. Jesus did what we could never do. He paid a debt we could never pay. He accomplished our salvation by himself, the Bible said. The world and the church needs to understand that we can never add to the cross. You cannot add to the cross. We can't improve on the cross. You'll never earn what Jesus purchased for us at the cross. Salvation is found in Christ alone. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. What do we do when the job that we've been working on, we've been working, we've been diligent, we've been doing this and we've doing that and the work is done or the day is spent? What is it that you do next? Well, most of us go flop down in our favorite chair and relax. Verse 3 ends by saying that Jesus sat down. I think that's important. He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. I think it's one of the most beautiful statements in the entire passage. He sat down. There's a huge message in those three words. He sat down. Someone might ask, but why? I'll tell you why. Because the work was finished. The job was done. The price was paid. The work was finished. He said it from the cross. It is finished. Again, what he didn't say. He didn't say, I'm finished. There's a difference. He said, it is finished. He's talking about your salvation and mine. The price has been paid. The sacrifice has been offered. The debt has been satisfied and sin has been dealt with. And then the resurrected Christ ascended to the Father's right hand, and he sat down because there was nothing left to do or nothing left to add to the sacrifice. So now the question becomes, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? The book of Hebrews doesn't give us information about Jesus. It confronts us with Jesus. God has spoken. Have you listened? That's the question. God has revealed himself. Have you received him? Jesus came, but have you come to him? Jesus paid for sin. Have you trusted him? Jesus finished the work. Hang on to your seat because this one's going to sting. Are you still trying to save yourself? So you don't have to clean yourself up first. You don't have to become good enough. There's nothing that you can do to earn God's love. The Bible makes it very clear, while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us. He says in another place, I'm not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, the world, and whosoever, that encompasses all of us. You don't have to earn God's love. Jesus has done the work. There have been a lot of voices throughout history. A lot of voices. There's a lot of voices today. We have politicians, philosophers, scientists, preachers, friends, and family. All of them have a voice. They all have a voice. But Hebrews chapter 1 says that above all those other voices, God has spoken through his Son. Somebody needs to hear this morning. God has spoken through his Son. Church, when God speaks through Jesus, we need to listen, because Jesus isn't simply a teacher. He's the creator. He's the Son of the Most High God. He is, in fact, the express image of God. He is the sustainer of all things. He is the Savior of the world. He's the very one who went to the cross and purged our sin. He's the very one who sat down at the right hand of God. And God, I got news for you today. The Bible says He's seated at the right hand of God, and He's making intercession for you and I. He's praying for us today. He finished the work. He's seated at the right hand of God. So the question this morning isn't, has God spoken? Hebrews answers that very plainly and very bluntly. Yes, God has spoken. The question is, have you heard Him? Are you listening to Him? Are you getting the message? Because God's message through His Son is simple. You're a sinner and you cannot save yourself. That's the message. As painful as that might seem, listen, you're always in pain when you go in the operating room. But while you're in the operating room, things happen to relieve the pain. You're a sinner. You can't save yourself. But Jesus died for you. Bow your heads with me, would you? Jesus died for you. Jesus paid for your sins. Listen, I want you to understand that yes, He died for the sins of the world. I want you to understand that. But I also want you to understand, even more importantly than that, He died specifically for your sin. Whether you're here in Myrtle Creek, whether you're somewhere in the outlying areas, or whether you're somewhere all the way around the world watching us today by way of the internet, He died personally for you and for me and for us. I have a personal salvation. Jesus died for you. He paid for your sins, and He rose again. And when He rose again, He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He defeated it all. This morning, right now, this morning, Jesus is inviting you to come to Him. He's inviting you to come to Him. Maybe you've heard a lot of voices in your life. Your heads are bowed. People are praying all around you. You're praying. You're being reminded of all these voices that you've heard throughout your life and in your life. Maybe you've heard voices telling you you're not good enough. You'll never amount to a hill of beans. Maybe you've heard voices that tell you that God can't never forgive you for what you've done. Let me just say something to you this morning. I want you to hear this. If you've heard those voices that tell you that God couldn't forgive you because what you've done, or that you're not good enough, you've heard all that stuff, let me tell you, that's not the voice of Jesus. That is not the voice of Jesus. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are burdened and heavy laden." The cross says that your sin is serious. It cost the Son of God His life. The abuse, the stripes, the beating that He endured prior to the cross was serious. It says what He went through says that your sin is serious, but the empty tomb says that your sin doesn't have to be the end of your story. Your sin does not have to be the end of your story. God has spoken, and today He's speaking to you. The question is, will you listen? Will you listen? This morning, whether in this room or watching by way of the internet, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior personally, He died personally for you. Personally, you have to receive Him as Lord and Savior. And so if you've never personally received Him, today is your day. And I'm going to ask you, if that's you, to raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. If you're online and you're watching and your hand is in the air, I can't tell that it is. I can't see it. But if you just jot a little note there and let our tech team know, hey, my hand's raised, and then you pray with us in just a moment, because we're going to pray. I promise you that God will save you. You'll be just as saved in your house as you can be in this church. Although I want to encourage you to come to church. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning and you accepted the Lord, but some way, somehow, you walked away. Life got so hectic. It got so busy. You kind of abandoned Him. Well, I can tell you this. He's right where you left Him. He's right where you left Him. And maybe you left Him a long ways away. I can promise you this. It's one step back to Him. It's one step back. If you turn around, the word repent literally means to turn 180 degrees. And so this morning, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to reconnect. I need to recommit my life to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, because I believe God's doing a work in this place. I see your hand, ma'am. You can put it down. Somebody else, say, Preacher, that's me. I got to return back to the Lord. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. You can put it down. Yes, sir, I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else, say, Preacher, that's me. Today I'm throwing it all in. I'm giving my life back to Jesus. He's speaking and I'm listening. If that's you, anybody else today, say, Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. If you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to get up. Come meet me right here. Come meet me right here at this altar. Come on. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Yes, you can be just as saved in your chair, but I'm going to ask you to take all the steps of faith that you can and get up and come. Meet me right here. Come on, you raised your hand. Get up and come. Come on, there's three of you. Raise your hand. Come on. 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 Well, Pastor, I've already been to the altar once. Well, come again. It's all right. It's okay. I come to the altar every Sunday. Come on. Get up and come. Get up and come. Let me pray with you. You ready? Listen, if you raised your hand and you're not up here, I'm not condemning you. I'm not. God's not condemning you. You can get just as saved in your seat as you can up here. I just want you to pray this prayer with us. If you're watching by way of the internet this morning and you had your hand up, if you'll just pray this simple prayer with us, God will save you right where you're at. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in the only thing that'll clean me, the blood of Jesus. Restore me, renew me, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and forgive me of all my sin. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. And I'll walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Come on, church, let's celebrate what God has done. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Second Sunday of next month. Let's keep it. Make sure the pastor's doing it. Okay? Good job. Let's see you guys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, let me just close in a word of prayer. I want to invite you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Pastor Bill's doing a great job bringing the word. So let's come together and support him. I just want to say thank you to each one of you watching this morning by way of the internet. We appreciate you being here, being a part of what God's doing here in Myrtle.